Good morning, everyone. The story of God's love, His gracious plan, His gracious hand reaching out and down to us who were lost in our sin, lost in darkness, in fact, enemies of God. It reminds us of His good, gracious, and perfect character. That's the God that we follow, the God that we are worshiping together here today. And we see it on full display as we've been going through the book of Acts together. And we're in the midst of a series called God's Gracious Plan, where we're seeing His hand, His plan unfold in the life of a man named Cornelius. God spoke to Cornelius through an angel, told him to send for Peter. And we saw last week that Peter received this kind of strange vision from God. It was one where various animals kind of descended on a sheet from heaven onto the earth, and then he had heard a voice that said, "Rise, kill, and eat." And Peter refused to do so. He wanted to obey the Levitical laws, the Jewish laws that he had grown up obeying and following. And it stated that certain animals could be eaten because they were considered clean and some were unclean, and therefore there was kind of a prohibition against those types of animals. And God spoke clearly, "What I have made, do not call unclean." God was teaching Peter that faith in Jesus Christ, obeying God, knowing Him fully, did not have to do with his Jewishness, being an Israelite by blood, or the Levitical laws that he had known and followed as a Jew. In fact, this faith that he has now in Christ, it's one that is available fully for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And in the midst of Peter thinking about this vision, reflecting on it, still a bit perplexed, we heard God, the Holy Spirit, tell Peter to go outside and greet the men from Cornelius who had come and arrived at where he was staying to go with them back to Cornelius. And that's where we are right now in Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 24 to 33 together. Acts chapter 10, verses 24 to 33, and this is the word of God. "And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I too am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked them why you sent for me.'" Verse 30. "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you that you give us your word, your good and perfect word. We thank you that as we look into the scripture, what's revealed to us about who you are, about your gracious plan of salvation for humanity, that it's so clear who you are. And why you are worthy of our worship, why you are worthy of our praise, why it's by grace through faith in Jesus, in who you are, that we can be saved. Thank you, God, for making a way for us who are lost. Thank you for making a way for us who are spiritually blind, to be able to see, to be able to be found. We continue to learn more about you. For those of us who are believers, the promise that You are not only with us, but you are in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Work in us, we pray, as we go through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you think about your own life, just take a moment to think about your own life, your spiritual journey, your walk of faith. What has brought you to the place that you are at right now? Now, I don't mean just physically where you're at in our church building, but in your own journey of faith or your own walk of just kind of spirituality, some may call it. What has brought you to the point that you are at right now in your life? If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, I believe that God, through His Word and through Christians, those who are true followers of Jesus, He is always making His way to you to reveal Himself to you, that you might know Him, that you might repent and believe in Him and become a child of God. He makes His way to you through relationships with believers, circumstances that cause you to question life and its purpose. And right now, if you're not a believer, but you're here in this sanctuary, I believe that He wants to reach you here through this message. He wants to speak into your life. He wants you to know the gracious plan that He has for you. And if you're here and you're already a believer of Jesus Christ, if you're already a follower of Jesus, remember who has brought you to the place where you are at in your walk of faith. God's gracious plan, this amazing hope and love, salvation and eternal life that He alone can offer you through Christ. If you're a believer and you're sitting here in these pews, that is yours by His goodness, by His grace in your life. He has called you to Himself. He made a way for you to know who He is. It wasn't because of your goodness or because of the talent or because of something that you had to offer. He met you in your sin, in fact, when you were, again, an enemy of God. And He showed His love through Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross and was resurrected on the third day. And so remember this as we go through this passage together. As we look at Cornelius, and it's going to end with the salvation of his own life, his own soul, but also those he has gathered together in the household. Think on the amazing, gracious plan of our God, that through various circumstances, through different things happening in our lives, through different people that He places in our lives, all of it is part of His gracious plan so that you might know who He is. Not only know who He is, but place your faith in Him as the one true God. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I hope that as we go through this, it's not just kind of, well, this is another Bible story about something that happened. No, this is something that happened to a very real person, Cornelius, through people who are believers of Jesus Christ, the early church, through Peter. And through that, eternity was changed for not only one person, but for his entire household. And that's how God continues to work out His gracious plan. And that's what I want for us to be in tune with. That's what I want for us to be a part of and acknowledge and see and have that perspective that every day of our lives, we're taking part in this gracious plan of God as His people. So these are just a couple of things that I want for us to do and learn to do more and more in order to stay in tune with God's plan for salvation of humanity and even just for our lives personally. First thing is this: humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. And secondly, anticipate. Anticipate God's word. So we're going to start first with that first point. Humble yourself before God. Verses 24 to 26 is what it says. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, for I too am a man." So we see that Peter humbles himself before God. He goes to Cornelius, his home. And though he had been a bit confused about this you know, this vision that God had given to him, he immediately obeyed, and so he humbled himself before God, and he went with Cornelius' servants to his home. And so now here, in the midst of that obedience to God, humility before God, they have this situation that happens, right? So Peter makes his way to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman centurion, and there's many who are gathered there. So it's not just Cornelius. So here we see Cornelius. Again, we have to remember who he is. He's a man of power. He's a man of prestige. He's a man of position. We see that he falls down and begins to worship Peter. So Cornelius humbles himself before God. Now, you might stop and say, well, no, he's not humbling himself before God. Well, it says he's worshiping Peter. But I want to stop us there for a moment. You see, this would be unheard of in those times for someone of his prestige or position to bow really before anyone other than maybe Caesar himself. But he bows down before Peter and he worships him, and we know that this worship is misdirected in who the person is that is receiving the worship. But I want for us to look at the position of Cornelius's heart. Why would he, a man of power and position and prestige, bow down before and worship someone like Peter? Why? Because Cornelius worshiped, wanted to worship, had a desire to know the one true God. And he knew that it was God who had sent the angel. It was God who had essentially commanded him to go and get Peter. So he's associating who Peter is with God himself. And so he falls down, and in his heart, he really wanted to worship God. So that was the position of his heart. And so I ask that question for everyone here that's sitting here right now, listening to the words of God being preached. Where is your heart at? Have you humbled your own heart before God? Is that the position of your heart as you're here? You have a desire, a strong desire to know God more deeply, to understand more of who He is so that you can apply that into your life? Or is this just another day in a routine of the week? Sunday, I go to church. Or maybe even as you sit here, you kind of are biding your time. Okay, well, when is this going to end? I have real things to do. I have a busy schedule. I have work I need to do for school. I have things in my career that I need to take care of. I have other conflicts and things, responsibilities. So let's get through this service and then let's get back to real life. Maybe you've had success in this world. Maybe you hold position or status in the world, or maybe even in our church. Maybe you have the respect of the people around you. But I'm asking you, in your heart, have you humbled yourself before God? Humble yourself. Know that no amount of accolades or degrees or titles or positions makes you better than anyone else. When you see God and have a heart for Him, that wants to worship Him, you humble yourself before Him. That's all you see. I want to glorify God. I want to serve You. I want to worship You. And so no one is higher than myself. If Cornelius were just to look at Peter, there's no reason to bow down and humble himself before even Peter, but because he has a heart that wants to humble himself before God, there he is. And yet Peter, we also see, again, this first point is humble yourself before God. We see the humility come out as Peter humbles himself. See, Peter, he addresses this misdirected worship. His immediate response to Cornelius worshiping him is he lifts him up. He's like, no, 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 I too am a man. Essentially, he's saying there's nothing greater about me than you or anyone else. Even as an apostle who could point to miraculous healings that he's been a part of, sharing the message of Jesus and many people coming to faith in Christ. He could point to many things that he was a part of, but in his heart, he's humbled himself to acknowledge that that has been God alone who has made these things possible. So he says, get up. I'm just a man. I'm no greater than you. God is the great one. God is the one who's worthy of our worship. God is the one who deserves the glory. So Peter doesn't want to have anything to do with stealing any glory from God. You see, it's not about himself. He's humbled himself before God. That's the position he knows in his heart before God. So I ask you again, in your heart, what is the position that you have before God? Are you a glory stealer? That when God uses you in some way to bless others, God uses you in some way to help others, that you try to take glory for yourself. Oh, it's because I'm good. It's because I'm great. That's why God uses me, because I have what it takes to show people this. Or do you say, God, thank you. I'm no greater than anyone else. I humble myself before you. Thank you, God, for allowing for me to be a part of your gracious plan. Verse 27 to 29 says this, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. You see, again, Peter has humbled himself before God. He doesn't take credit for anything. And then he goes on to share his own personal kind of testimony about how God is working to humble him in his own way, specific to him. You see, though it was against Levitical law to associate with Gentiles in their home, Peter obeyed God and the vision through which God spoke to him. You see, God's glory was the priority. Obedience to God was a priority. Peter humbled himself before God. If it had simply been logic, his own thinking, what he's always grown up with or always known, he probably would not have gone to the house of Cornelius. Remember, even in the vision, Peter rejects the command in his vision to rise, kill, and eat the food that he saw. Why? Because he said, never have I done this. I would never eat something that is unclean, and I have not, and I will not. But through the vision and through God working in his heart, calling him to obedience, here he is humbling himself before God and following him. So again, the question, you know, we probably hear this word a lot in church, right? Humble yourself, right? Humble yourself. Have you truly humbled yourself before God? You know what? The only person that can truly know if you've humbled your heart before him is God. I think even as Christians, especially as Christians, we become very good about convincing others of our humility. Am I right? We don't want to come off as a show-off. We want to show modesty. We want to show that we are truly humble. So outwardly, I think people work on that craft a little bit, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously. How we appear to other people is very important to us. But only God can see the condition of your heart in a true way. That even as you come off humble in your heart, what is the position of your heart before God? Have you truly humbled yourself? This is one thing I'm going to point to. If you've truly humbled yourself before God, in your heart, there should be a lack. There should be very little comparison between you and other people. Now, let me explain what that means. When you humble yourself before God, you're recognizing who you are before God, and if that means that you are no greater than anyone or lesser than anyone around you, then there's no reason to compare yourselves to each other. You see, Peter was once a fisherman. He's an apostle of God now, but Cornelius, a Roman centurion, he fears the God of Israel and wants to know more about what it means to be a true believer. And so both have humbled themselves in their hearts before God because they've set their eyes upward on him. They want to glorify him. So it doesn't matter that I'm Cornelius, a Roman centurion. It doesn't matter that I'm Peter, an apostle of God. No, when they humble their hearts before God, they come with hearts ready to obey God, ready to see what he has in store for them in his gracious plan. You see, They want to give God the glory. They want to obey Him and honor Him. This is essential to living out and knowing and being in tune with God's gracious plan, not only for salvation, but also for our lives. When we look only outward and compare ourselves to one another, we easily lose sight of what God's trying to show us. We easily lose sight of what ways He wants to work in us and through us. So humble yourself before God inwardly. Again, only God can see it. How often in the week do you repent of the ways in which you have not lived obediently towards God? When's the last time that you were on your knees to worship God in prayer and just be reminded of the new life and purpose that He's given to you? And we all fall short. But when we humble ourselves before God, we recognize, well, we fall short because that's actually who we are. We're people who can't do it on our own. We need God and His power. We need to be reminded of the power that saved us so we could be a part of His kingdom work. And He wants each of us to be a part of His gracious plan and to be used for His kingdom work. So humble yourself before God. Secondly, anticipate God's word. Verse 30 to 33, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So anticipate God's word. What am I talking about? You see, as we see Cornelius explain all that had happened to him and why he had called Peter to his home, it becomes abundantly clear that God has graciously planned this meeting between the two. It wasn't by chance. There was no other thing, no other person that brought this together, but God Himself. He made it happen, this meeting between Peter and Cornelius. And He had a reason, a purpose behind it. Cornelius was spoken to by an angel of the Lord in the midst of prayer. Peter spoken to in a vision and then told by the Spirit to go with the men that Cornelius had sent. So Cornelius, remember, what he was a Roman centurion, but he's also a God-fearer. He was a Gentile, but he believed in the God of Israel, though he hadn't converted fully to Judaism. So what must Cornelius do to become a believer of the one true God and be saved? He needs to know that the full picture of God's gracious plan, which is through the person of Jesus Christ and His work upon the cross in His life, death, and resurrection. That's what Cornelius must know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God has crafted this plan so that Cornelius, he's being prepared in his heart to hear the word of God. He's being prepared in his heart to anticipate this news, this word that Peter has for them, and it's going to be the saving word, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And even Cornelius, what he's doing, he's acknowledging that everything has culminated to this point of Peter's arrival. What is this message that God has commanded Peter to tell them about? And he's so excited in anticipation. It says that he's not just alone in his household. He's invited his family. He's invited his close friends because he knows he's anticipating something amazing is going to happen and that God is going to speak to him through this man, Peter. He's so excited. He brings others in to listen. He brings others in to share in the anticipation of the word of God that will be spoken. I still remember seeing this video from long ago about a house church in China. And they didn't have much. You know, but as believers, they lived a lot like the early church. They always did their best to share resources and to help one another out with what little they had. And even when it especially came to the Bible as believers, they didn't have a Bible for every single person in their house church. So what they would do is they would actually share pages of the Bible with one another in the church so that everyone would have some portion of the Scripture, some portion of the Bible, some portion of God's Word to read daily. And they prayed to God that somehow in his goodness and grace that he would provide each of them with Bibles. You see, they had a strong desire to study the Word of God. They had a strong desire and anticipation to hear God's voice, to know him more. And while their prayers were answered, and a missionary group was able to find them and provide them each with a Bible for themselves. And when I watched the video, and I've watched it multiple times, because when I watch this video, each time I see it, I'm so incredibly rebuked. I'm so incredibly moved by their reaction. Because when the box of Bibles arrive, they all rush toward the box. And they begin to open it up like it's children on Christmas Day. They're so excited. They're so anticipating being able to just have a Bible, the Word of God, for themselves to study and to own, to take to their own home and read it whenever they want to. They're so excited in anticipation of God's Word. And I remember they kind of, you know, they pan into this one lady who takes the Bible, and I just remember her picking up the Bible, and she's just hugging it. She's hugging it and kissing it, and there's tears rolling down her face because she's crying with just pure joy. And get to know more about this awesome God. I share this because God speaks to us through his Word. And the Bible that God has given to us by his grace, that he has preserved over the history of time, he's given it to us to speak to us. And I wonder if we have this kind of anticipation of God's Word, that every time we open the Bible is an opportunity for us to hear the voice of God. Every time we pray and we go to him, cry out to him, give our lives to him, explain the things that we're going through, whether we're mad or upset or joyful or whatever it might be, that when we come to the Lord in prayer and in the Word of God, it's an opportunity to hear his Word so we can anticipate his Word. Even when you come here on Sundays, I hope that there's some sort of anticipation that you have. I wonder how God will speak to me through the Word today. Not because Pastor Josh was bringing the heat when he was preaching. No, nothing to do with me. In the same way that Peter said, no, I'm just the man. Yes, 100%. Not because of who I am, but because of the Word that I'm preaching. Not my words, but the Word of God. Do you anticipate what he wants you to know, what he wants you to be challenged by today? Or are you sitting here, biding your time? Well, okay, I think there's like 15 minutes left, 30 minutes left. Then I can get on with the things that I need to do for this week. Anticipate God's Word. Look at that. Cornelius, in praying regularly, he's humbled his heart before God. He's preparing, anticipating, hearing God's voice lead him to the truth. So he calls for Peter, and Peter comes. He also obeys God. He humbles himself. And that, here they are. Here they are. And there's a whole group gathered. Cornelius is sharing in his anticipation, excitement to hear the Word of God. And so here Peter is, and he's going to tell them, we know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know that they will be saved by grace through faith, that when they hear the amazing, powerful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Cornelius and his entire household will believe. And they'll be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that next week in our next week's passage. So I ask you, do you live in such anticipation of hearing God's voice? He's given to us his Word. When's the last time you picked the Bible up in your home? Now, you don't have to hug it and kiss it, but don't take it for granted. Church, followers of Jesus, believers of God, we have his very Word at our fingertips. Read the Word. You know, I don't know if you got a chance to see in the emails that our church, I'm encouraging us to do just a daily devotional as we go through the Lenten season. Join in. It's not too late to join in. And they're very short devotionals, but they take us through just picturing the gospel message. Take time, make time to be in God's word. Anticipate how he's going to speak into your life in times of prayer and in the word. If you feel challenged by that question, when's the last time that you picked up the Bible in your own house? Don't take that as some kind of condemnation. No. Take it as a challenge that God wants you to know more of who he is, and he wants to communicate to you who he is, and he wants to speak into your life and reveal more of himself and his plan for your life. It's there, right there. Read the word of God. Go to God in prayer. Be excited. Anticipate his word. Be joyful. Humble yourself before God. Anticipate his word. And let's continue to grow in our understanding of his gracious plan. Let's pray together. Let's just take one moment to respond in prayer. When's the last time that you were so excited about your faith, your relationship with Jesus, that you're inviting people? I mean, you can't keep it to yourself. You want people to know about this God. Has it become simply about you? Well, I believe in Jesus. I think I'm living a good life, so okay. God's gracious plan has so much more for you than you could probably ever imagine. The question is whether you'll open up your eyes to see that. And that comes with humbling yourself before God. That his glory, honoring him, that's the purpose with which you live and everything that you do. And when that's the case, you invite others in. You want them to know God. It means you anticipate his word. You crack open the Bible that's been sitting on your desk or on your bookshelf. You say, God, I want to know more about you. I want to know more about what you want for me in my life, how I can glorify you, how I can obey you, how I can follow you. So can you just take a moment right now in your heart, only God can see. Humble yourself before God right now. If you have not been living with God's glory and who he is, your relationship with him as your purpose, as the driving force of your life, humble yourself before God right now. And say, God, I want to glorify you. I don't want to steal any glory from you. I want to live for your purpose, your gracious plan, not my own. Help me. Empower me. So that I can be obedient to you. Just take a moment to do that. And then I'll close us in prayer before we go into a time of communion. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would remind us of your gracious plan for our lives. Thank you for those of us who are saved by grace through faith and relationship with Jesus, that truly it was your gracious plan. Thank you for making us children of God, those who were lost in sin, and yet in your love you reached down to us through Christ. And you saved us. I pray for those who do not know you, God, that you would work in their hearts and that through your gracious plan, if they look into their lives, that they'll see that you have been reaching out to them through those who do follow Christ, through circumstances that push them to question the purpose of life, and seeing that there's something greater than ourselves. God, would you continue to work in that way? But be with us, Lord, as you promised those who are your people. Remind us of your eternal presence in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, encourage us, empower us to do your will and to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.